It's the WHTC Morning News with Dan Evans and Gary Stevens on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.
Welcome back to the WHTC Morning News for this Thursday, January 19th. Sitting in for an ailing Dan Evans, I'm Gary Stevens. Thursday mornings at this time, we have a conversation with the man that represents most of the lakeshore in Capitol Hill. He is 4th District, if I get my names right. 7th term Congressman Bill Heising of Zeeland on the other end of our line from Washington. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Yes, the fourth. I've had to stop as I've been writing that out myself a few times. So, very long time that this area has been in the second district, and then of course the sixth is what Fred Upton had here for the last bit. So, we're the new fourth, with the third on the end, on the north half of Ottawa County, so a little different.
Let's talk a little bit about the third for just a moment. How much interaction you've had with Hillary Scolton since she took office?
Literally met her once. that has been it so far. We have not had a whole lot of interaction. Just the opportunities really weren't there, despite sitting on the floor for 15 various votes for the speaker's race. We were sort of more focused on trying to get that done. So I have not had a chance to actually spend any real significant time with her.
Is that normal for like the new people that it takes a while for you to get used to the new guys and the new ladies on the block?
Well, and we have a significant number on our side of the aisle as well, and we just have not had any opportunities where it's been something either here in West Michigan or in Washington, D.C., that has been given us that opportunity. So now, having said that, it does take a while. I mean, for everybody on every side, especially as you're a freshman coming in, you are setting up offices in the district. You're setting up your office in Washington, D.C. You're getting yourself acquainted with the new parts of the district, especially if it's brand new, like for her. So that's not terribly unusual. And at some point, I'm sure we'll be having a delegation meeting, meaning we're going to get both the Republicans and the Democrats together. We just haven't had an opportunity to do that as of yet. We've been only in Washington really for that swearing in and then the speaker's vote, and then have been out. So we go back in this coming week.
Now, here comes the questions about what is going on right now. The federal government poised to hit the debt ceiling today. Limit of money the government is allowed to borrow to meet its financial obligations. The debt ceiling currently stands at over $31 trillion. Congress is considering raising the limit to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its debt. Will we hit the ceiling, and what's the ramifications?
Well, and we have significantly over decades, we have hit that ceiling, and then the government goes into the Secretary of the Treasury, and the administration have to go into what they what's dubbed extraordinary circumstances, which then stretches it out for another period of time. So what people have to realize and understand that this is not new. We do have to pay our debts and our obligations, but I think we also have an obligation to reform how we are doing our spending. And that has been something that has been a hallmark of how I have handled this in the past. I have voted against debt ceiling increases, and I voted for debt ceiling increases, depending on if we can get some reforms that have been put in place to make the process better. And that is something that will, I think, continue to be a central element of the conversation. Now, here's the thing, Gary, that people have to understand. The federal government is funded by 11 different spending bills, but that's only part of the spending, and it's actually, frankly, only about a third of all of the spending that we do as a federal government now. The vast majority of the money that is spent is on autopilot. Congress doesn't even vote on it. We vote on the Defense Department. We vote on the domestic programs through Department of Energy, Department of Transportation. This Medicare, Medicaid, those kinds of things, though, are on autopilot, and Social Security. There is no input from Congress as to how the spending goes in that. And that is where we have to really focus and concentrate on. And there's a bipartisan group, I know you and I have talked about this over the years, that I've helped form, that we call ourselves the 30 by 30 group. But it is a group that is wanting to take a serious look at this financial situation that we are in as a country and how we are going to go tackle that. We're only going to be able to do so much on this discretionary side, this part where Congress can say yay or nay onto a particular program. We have to have the courage to go in and talk about what Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security are going to look like for the future. They're not going to go away, but they have to change at some point when we have life expectancy, for example, that has just rocketed up from where it had originally been when Social Security was implemented. And we have to have the courage to do that, and I'm hoping that we are going to tackle that.
Another issue that's going on in Washington is, of course, the classified documents that have been found with President Biden's residence in Delaware. A new Quinnipiac University poll conducted last week showed that 85% of Republicans find fault with the president, 36% of Democrats, but most voters think that President Biden's handling of those documents was inappropriate. White House saying, let's move on. They're going to try to be transparent. Republican says, well, if you're going to try to be transparent, why are you holding everything up?
KGP, as she is known, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, standing up there saying, we're being transparent, does not make it transparent. In fact, this notion that the Department of Justice decided to not send FBI agents in with the president's counsel to go do this search, or whether it was counsel and it's been noted as aides, it's one of the questions that I have posted out there, which is, what is the security clearance of these folks, right? Because I happen to have a TSI, top secret information clearance. When I go into a SCIF, I can't take notes that my own personal notes and take them out the door with me. Non-staff members that don't have a security clearance can't handle these things. Most of the time, it's unusual to have staff that would have that kind of level of clearance. So there's basic questions like, how did these files get there from when he was vice president? In the case at the Penn Biden Center, he was vice president. It was there during the Obama administration, there during the Trump administration, and now in his own administration. And I'm sorry, just because you locked up your car for your Corvette in the garage does not mean the files are secure. And you've got a huge number of people that have access to this area, whether it be in the Penn Biden suite of offices, which are just off of Capitol Hill, or whether it's your home in Delaware. And, oh, by the way, you're not keeping records of visitor logs at the residence in Delaware, highly unusual. In fact, that was a criticism in the last administration about Mar-a-Lago and some other areas at Bedminster where the president would go. This is just outrageous, frankly, that it is being handled this way. And the Department of Justice and the FBI appear to be continuing their political ways. And that breeds no confidence in the system.
He is Congressman Bill Heisinger. Talks about some of the issues of the day at this time on WHTC Morning News on a weekly basis. And Bill, as always, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully Dan will be up and at them and ready to chat with you again next Thursday morning. Have a good week, sir.
Hey, thanks, Gary. You too, and all the best to Dan.
Thank you very much. Bill Heisinger on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.